Content warning. The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon, which means we have to talk about all kinds of child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. I am joined, as always, by Sarge.
Put on your booties, listeners. It's going to be a cold one, or whatever they say in Groundhog's Day.
And the mysterious L.
Hello, my beautiful babies.
Trying to go deep enough to do like an anime villain thing without putting any sort of like racial inappropriate stank on it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how hard of a row that was going to be to hoe until I got in there.
I was trying to pull the reference, but it was just deep and generic enough that I was like, this could be any number of things.
Yeah, because I didn't want to, if I wanted to do an actual reference to anyone, I feel like it would be racist immediately. We like to bury our racist, I mean, don't get me wrong, this show is plenty racist and everyone knows it, but we like to bury it after the first, like, you have to get past the first 5 minutes of that, otherwise your show will never be profitable.
Podcasting tips from us, the podcasting millionaires, letting you know how you one day yourself could be a podcasting millionaire.
Yeah, so. And also don't forget, folks, pro tip, when you narrowly avoid being racist, make sure to call out how near of a miss it was so everyone can know exactly how close you were to racism.
Looking at all these very successful podcasters, I think if we want to make money, we're not racist enough, because we'll get you in the boosh, but wow.
Yeah.
I wish to God that I had like soundboard control or whatever right now, because I would immediately go in for a fake racist joke and then fake pull the plug on us and just go to like test pattern noise.
Yeah. Like, we went to the same, like the Simpsons, the whole screen with the drug camera operator. Like, woo.
Yeah. Yeah. Those sorts of jokes are classics because they work. I mean, that like it's all theater of the mind. Imagine how racist we could be, and then imagine this funny text like test pattern button. It would be hilarious. Imagine this much better show that you're not getting.
Yeah, yeah. We're 3 weeks with a podcast. We haven't even begun to touch on anti-Semitism. Oh my God, I hate seeing how much money shitbags make.
It's super depressing. I mean, it's really, really wonderful, like the things that like people can monetize in America, where it's just, are you just an absolute monster? Here's a pile of money, because there are people that really like, because you have to go to these like alternate media streams in order to get that message out there. Mm-hmm. So people are just like, well, we can't even get on Fox or Newsmax with this shit, but you're doing a podcast that's getting numbers of some sort. Here you go. Here's a pile of money. Keep doing it, because we need to get people into the clutches of the alt-right, and you're one of the ways we can do that. So
how about Kyle Rittenhouse hawking that video game during the Thanksgiving season, which I'm saying before the Boosh segment, because I don't have any of the facts at all in front of me, but it's just like, wow, what a clown of a world we live in, where that kid gets to hawk anything and just being like, remember that time I killed those people and got away with it? Time to give me money.
Like,
publishing company bit on OJ Simpson's crazy memoirs, right? Like, that was a thing that was supposed to come out but didn't, because everybody was just like, ooh. Did it actually come out? Wow.
I think if it came out, like the he got like all the profits like taken from him, because he lost the civil case. He lost the civil case to the families of the people he totally didn't murder. So like any money he would have made from something where he was like, hey, I may have killed those people, who knows? Like that money would have been.
It came out. It's up on Amazon. I Did It, Confessions of a Killer by O.J. Simpson. It came out 3 years ago.
That's got to be a different one, right? Like the. Also, is that one called I Did It?
Yeah. I Did It, Confessions of a Killer by O.J. Simpson.
See, I want to say the thing I'm thinking of was much longer ago, and it was called "If I Did It," and it was
right, that's what, like, I remember.
Hypothetically, here's how I would have murdered those people if I had, which I did not. Anyway, yeah. the end result is it's fucked up that people in America can make money off of the murders they get away with.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say before we went down the OJ sidetrack. Was I can't wait for Kyle Rittenhouse to be on some D-list reality show, and like the subtitle under his name is Kyle Rittenhouse, like famous murderer. Like, what are you famous for, Kyle? Oh, I killed people. That's what I'm famous for. I'm
Which
a famous
video game
murderer.
Was he promoting?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure it's some indie trash that some right wing lunatic made for him, where it's just like you know. Property Defender 2022. This is why I didn't put it in the bush. I don't know what the game is, or because I saw Kyle Rittenhouse promotes video game, and I was just like, yeah, I don't want to know any more about this. My life is already grim enough without needing to know any more information about this one. But I can see both you and Mike Raids doing some research right now. So I guess
I now have a quieter keyboard.
So I mean, I can still hear it. So I guess what we should do is, Mike, how about you just hit the button that does that boosh bump, and then we can get further down the rabbit hole.
L, steering the ship of Hellworld smoothly, as always.
It's time for a light sampling of insanity. Get ready for the amuse-bouche.
I love the line between us bullshitting, amuse-bouche, and news. It's pretty... It can be pretty gray on occasion. It's just kind of what we're feeling when we're laying these out. Because
Well, this became more than a riff once you guys both started researching a thing. Like, I saw you guys both head down into your keyboards as if though you were like checking to see what the fuck this information was. So I guess let's just Kyle Rittenhouse upgraded as well he should be from light riff to amuse-bouche.
Yes. Yeah, so his game is called the Turkey Shoot, and basically it was a Thanksgiving-themed thing where you run around shooting turkeys, and the turkeys have labels on them, like fake news and MSDNC and FNN, which I guess is fake news network instead of CNN. So it's basically run around and shoot things the way I did. Again, Kyle Rittenhouse, professional, a famous murderer. So it's so... The idea that you, like, someone making this game was like, you know who we need to get on this game to promote it? Because this is the audience, our target audience, Kyle Rittenhouse. He's our target audience. I'm sure they were very mad that the cop that killed George Floyd was not available to them, that guy's in jail for forever, hopefully.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck, can you let him out on parole for the weekend just so he can do a shoot for us and, like, talk about how, like, murdering your enemies is good, and, like, buy this game because I'm a terrible person and I support the game that you should be buying.
Can you imagine the horrible DLCs that could be available for that game? There's all manner of terrible things that you could shoot in turkey form.
Endless.
Yes. Oh. Truly a very well-designed, engrossing and captivating game, and not a shameless cash grab that's trading on Kyle Rittenhouse's name to try to make a quick buck.
Now L is the one laying racist traps for his co-hosts. Like, the DLCs for that all lead down a very disgusting road.
I literally said imagine. I wasn't asking you guys to say anything. I said the word imagine. That implies silence.
L did in fact not say, hey Mike, explain the horrifying content in the DLCs.
Yeah, hey Mike, what would be a hilarious turkey shirt for a DLC for this racism game?
The implication was there.
Also, there's a bunch you could do without crossing the line. Like POC, that seems like it would be a perfectly acceptable, fucking awful shirt for them to put in this as a DLC. For like, if you do want to be extra racist, here's one that says POC, or even AOC. Am I right? Just a shirt that says AOC. You're not using a likeness or anything. It's just like you could totally get away with it and just be like, really let your racism freak frag fly.
Yeah, you just have to lie and say it was anything but what it was. And,
yeah, it's the America Obscurity Channel or whatever. Who cares? It's a fake news network. It's all fake make-em-ups. The letters are arbitrary.
I'm calling for violence against a sitting congresswoman.
It's America's overt communism. Duh. Why did you take it that way? You're the one who has the problem, triggered lib. Yeah.
Yeah, the sort of flimsy, plausible deniability that I'm sure they use anytime anybody tries to call them out on using like a 14 or an 88.
Oh, constantly, all the time. Yeah.
They're just like, that's just the way it works out, man. It's like,
Steven Crowder actually like posted something that was literally 14 words and it was clunky. It was very obvious there should have been like another word added or subtracted. I forget which, but he worked hard. He just wanted to get a 14 word statement up there. And our beautiful boy, our dumb racist sack of shit who wishes he was relevant. He made it. So congratulations, buddy. You Nazi dog whistled and got yourself on our Z-List podcast. Combobulations of Liza Girth. You're the greatest.
He's more relevant than I'd like in that, like, well, I don't know if I assume I'd still know his name even if I didn't do this podcast, but I wonder sometimes. Because I like, with what's coming up later, I had to ask myself, like, I definitely only know about Nick Fuentes because of this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Our boy went to Sizzler. Our boy got big time this week. So yeah, congrats to him. He
really and also made it. Milo was there. Weirdly. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that in the future. But before we do that, we have to move on in our Amuse Bouche segment from the surprise, I guess, Ultimate Warrior style intro into the ring of Kyle Rittenhouse and his stupid turkey game to what was actually supposed to be our first Amuse Bouche item. The list, a mysterious list, of which I know nothing about, but I can't imagine it's too juicy because it's in the bouche and not in the news segment. So, Mike, what is the list?
So the list was basically something that got posted on some really small right-wing Telegram channels about evil QAnon account, evil like anti-QAnon, anti-right accounts that are bad, and we once based Elon returns us to the digital battlefield, we need to harass, report, destroy these evil accounts. And the thing about this list is that it's incredibly scattershot. It's really incoherent. Like Libs of TikTok was on it. There was a bunch of other like really obvious right wing Twitter accounts that were there. And there were other people that were super minor. But the most important part about this list is that I was not on it. And I am very upset about that. I've put in the work to make the list.
How did you not make it on some QAnon hit list? Boo. No wonder we're not podcast millionaires yet. What happened to your juice? What happened to the promise of the juice?
I don't know.
If we can't get liberal hate, we need conservative hate.
Yeah, and to let you know who was around there, Q-Talk and Karma both made the list. So they're baddies, but old Poker, nope. I don't cut it. I don't rate. So that
I mean
was...
to be fair, they both do rule. And you know, they're obviously friends of the show. We've talked to Karma, despite the fact that she alleges she comes from a place that I'm not convinced exists, Australia.
Yes.
A place that is so whimsical and fake, I use it as the punchline for where Rod is building his killdozer.
Yes.
Just kidding, Australia. I love you. I love a lot of the stuff that you do. I know what Round the Twist is. There's my bona fides. I grew up watching some Round the Twist, if you know, you know. Anyway.
I nodded my head. I remember watching that, and I also just recently watched a YouTube video on the history of it.
Was Under the Umbrella Tree also an Australian thing? Okay, we get real off the deep here.
I have
never mind.
No idea what you're talking about now.
Really? Under the Umbrella Tree? Well, haha, I got him. One of the few times I've gotten Sarge with a reference.
Do you know about the time-traveling space koalas? That one's a...
Is that like a show or... Like
yeah, it was a show.
Oh, then no. I guess we feature parody.
Obscure Australian media parody.
I can't wait for somebody from Australia to just be like, what are you guys on about? All those things are for Britain. All those things are for Britain. You're all racist. I don't know if that counts as racism, but whatever sort of ism it counts as, we are it. Anyway, so Lord Christ. So, Mike, you didn't make this hit list. How is that possible? I thought you were a perpetual thorn in the side of these rubes.
Oh, it's really funny because Awakened Outlaw, who's one of the big grifters in We the Media, literally put a post up with me wearing a mask from back in the day when, again, I was on Good Morning America. You can see my face. It's not hidden. And he was like, just so you know, Porker, when we get our accounts back, we're coming for you. But apparently this list, whoever made it didn't hate me enough to do it to add me into the list of 5,000. So that was really odd. Now the other thing about this list is, again, it's
5,000 people deep, and you didn't make it. You didn't make top 5,000 in the QAnon. What the fuck?
I know. It's enraging. It's absolutely enraging.
Thank you all for listening to what is apparently the last episode of Adventures of Hell World. Well, what are we even doing here?
Exactly. Again, libs of TikTok is a greater enemy to the QAnon movement than I am. So
don't like libs of TikTok? That thing's huge.
That's the thing. Is like the list. People looking at the list think it was probably just like some of it was generated with AI. Some of it was generated by one of these things where like you just start with one person you hate, then like follow all the people that are following them and blow out the list from there.
But that can't possibly be true, because then you would be on that list.
You would think, but I may have not been where the connection points were. It's really strange. And the other thing about the list is, again, it was like tiny right wing Telegram channels like propagated it, and then some left wingers on Twitter grabbed it and they just blew it up. And like that was the thing. A lot of people were like, "Why are you making a big deal about this list? You're only giving oxygen to it now, when before no one was even looking at it." So. Both the list itself.
I have an answer to that, and the answer is because people are stupid fucks. Like, everyone is a stupid dummy, and everyone's first impulse is to say a thing, and it takes willpower to resist that impulse. And I give credit to most people that most of the time they don't say the thing, but everyone is going to fuck up sometimes, and that is why I keep having to see people engaging with Elon Musk on Twitter. He'll just say some inane shit. He'll just say or do something stupid on Twitter that's literally just like, I want attention! Give me some attention! And you know what will happen? 40,000 people will immediately just be like, we love! Like, oh, here's your attention, Elon Musk. We're coming here to dunk on you. Ooh, get dunked on. And it's just like, what dunking are you going to do to Elon Musk that him losing $20 billion hasn't done? Like, you lost $20 billion over the past week or whatever. Like, you think you go in there and just be like, yeah, remember that time you got hair plugs? Boom, roasted. Or like, oh, your nightstand looks like a depressed dad's. Bazinga. And it's just like, how about you just don't talk to the guy?
Hey, he paid $44 billion for the right to make people. He wanted to be the main character of Twitter. So, by God, I mean... Man,
if you're like an Elon Musk bootlicker, I totally understand why you're lining up to lick a boot. But if you're supposed to be one of his detractors and you're just like waiting for him to post a thing so you can get in there to like take another shot at Elon, he doesn't give a fuck about you. He does not give a fuck about you. He's like, just stop engaging with him. What is wrong with you?
I was going to say, he's desperately afraid of everyone ignoring him. And that's why, I mean, well, now he's in real danger of Apple ignoring him. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, everybody could just get back to ignoring him. The real star fucking people that are like secretly in their heart of hearts, they really just want Elon to notice them, no matter like whether or not it's for good or for bad. It will increase their chances of being noticed, too. So everybody wins.
Where did we put Elon's recent bullshit? Is it in the Boosh or am I saving it for the news?
I think we didn't actually decide it was worth talking about this week. But Boosh it is. I mean, he got into Boosh as soon as we start talking about it. See, it's like you said, it's all real loosey-goosey.
Stuck his way in. But yeah, the big thing is Apple is very much looking at maybe just delisting Twitter because they fired their entire content moderation team and child porn is starting to creep up on Twitter again. I thankfully have not seen any, but there are reports that if you go looking, you can maybe find it now. So hooray that.
Yeah, I feel like the first time something like that accidentally floats on my Twitter feed, then it means that my Twitter feed has been compromised. I'm just going to scrap the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that was the thing I was watching. There were threads about how Elon's having this tiff with Apple, and he wants to make it about like them censoring him and about it being political. And it's been what this person said is what probably did actually happen was Twitter did some kind of update. And then when Apple did a check on things, they found bad stuff, in this case, probably child exploitation. And then they were like, okay, we need to call Twitter and have them make sure they fix this and proactively make sure it won't happen again. And then when they called their contacts at Twitter, they're like, oh, that entire department's been laid off.
And then that person doesn't work here anymore.
Right. So Apple's like, how do we get a hold of somebody to fix this problem? Because Apple takes their brand safety really seriously and they don't put things in the App Store that violate that. And child exploitation is like a number one on that list. And
it's probably the tippy top, because that'll get them sued faster than anything.
And the best part about all this is, like, Elon himself was like preventing child porn and exploitation is like the number one goal of Twitter. And it's like, well, yeah, you said that, but how are you doing it? And QAnon, oh god, they were so celebrating. They're like, Elon's on our side. He cares about child trafficking. You know who else cares about child trafficking? Donald Trump, all about the kids. And just they were. And it's like
just his own.
Yep, just his own, who he wants to sleep with one of them. And it's Eric. It's a shocking twist. It's Eric.
But, that'd be great. That would be the wacky zig we thought he was going to zag twist that we need to keep Trump's hopes alive as somewhat of relevance past 2024. So let's not do that, because it would be great to finally be rid of him. What a world.
Oh god, what a magical world it would be to be rid of Trump forever.
And also, imagine the people that are still going to be on his side if he manages to get the nomination to get his ass paddled in 2024, so he just loses back-to-back, and then there's still going to be people that are just like, he's still great! You still love him! He's the greatest!
He only lost because he was cheated! And it's like, well, if he was cheated in 2020 and he knew he was going to get cheated in 2024, why didn't he prepare himself to prevent the cheating? Like, shouldn't he have been on the ball about that? Nope, just the dumb babyface wrestler who can't believe the bad guy's going to hit him in the head of a chair again. Just, I can't, he did it again. I can't believe it. Oh, man, I really did. I thought he was going to fight me on the up and up this time, but he used the chair again. I just can't believe it. It's so wild.
That clip of John Cena opening up the chair from the Christmas present just again and again.
Yeah.
As we all suspected, Trump's last gasps are going to be coming after a bunch of people that are his friends. He just sucks the oxygen away from everyone else and then just like manages to outlast them before crumbling himself. We'll get more to that later. But for the time being, let's talk about some more positive news. A nice big fuck you to Mr. Rhodes, who was the leader of the Oath Keepers. What are they called?
Correct.
The Oath Keepers. Yeah, I got it right this time. A big fuck you to him for being apparently brought up on and convicted of actual sedition charges. I hope that's true, because I'm really proud of my Roads to Sedition headline here. Look at that.
it is indeed true.
Why is being a journalist so fucking easy? I've always said that I'm a journalist.
For legal reasons, no one on this podcast is a journalist. I repeat, we're not journalists. He actually got, as someone on Twitter occasionally points out when I say it, big boy sedition charges, like the real deal. Him and his eye patch get to go to federal prison for, as Mike told us before the podcast, a minimum of 20 years, right?
Carries a
mandatory minimum, not always in favor of those, but a mandatory minimum of 20 years. So, going to be missing a few federal elections in there, and I don't think he's allowed to vote after that if he survives.
Yeah. So this is the this was a group of Oath Keepers. This was basically Oath Keeper leadership that was on trial, and they all got the charge of seditious conspiracy, which is again the big one. And this was a charge that had not been brought against any other January 6th protester in court. So Elmer Stuart Rhodes, I wonder why he doesn't go by his first name, because Elmer doesn't have a much snap to it. I mean, I know being called Stewie isn't that good, but if you are adamant about being Stuart, at least that's way better than Elmer. But he got convicted of seditious conspiracy. He was not convicted of conspiracy to obstruct a official proceeding. And I believe that was because the things he got acquitted for, he wasn't actually physically there. The things that he got convicted of was because he was like in the text lines talking. He was guilty of obstructing an official proceeding, and he was guilty of tampering with documents, which probably means he was deleting his shit once they were told, hey, we need your phones and we need you to not touch those phones or something like that.
Kelly, he's just like, yeah, totally. Just let me reach into my pocket real quick.
Yep. Kelly Meggs, who was the co-conspirator, the other big fish with him, got nailed on everything except for destruction of government property. So they're actually probably going to do more jail time than even Stewie's going to. And there were three other defendants who, two of them got away with seditious conspiracy, but they got nailed for other crimes. So like the jury really went down the list point by point and was pretty good about what they thought the government got right and got wrong, which is a good sign. If they were convicted of everything or acquitted of everything, that would be potentially a sign of like sloppiness. But this was the biggest January 6th trial, because almost all the January 6th protesters took deals because they were like, yeah, we were in the building, we did it.
We cannot deny this. There's so much footage.
Right. The people that were like fighting this are like mostly like on the sovereign citizen kind of like, this court is illegitimate. There's gold fringe on the flag. Fuck you. So it's like, yeah, okay, buddy.
But, you're allowed to apply to me because I'm from the real United States.
Yes, exactly. I'm not from the corporation of the United States.
That is not my name. I do not recognize that name.
Yes.
Am I being detained?
Yep. Oh, all of these questions. Yeah. So they went to trial for the simple fact that like you probably can't get a plea deal on seditious conspiracy that isn't like, again, monstrous jail time anyways. So you might as well roll the dice. And from what I was reading of this, the government's case on seditious conspiracy wasn't like 100% totally rock solid. Because the defense's argument was, you can look through all the shit they did, they really didn't plan this out well. And if there's no plan, there's no seditious conspiracy.
Just because you're bad at it doesn't mean it's not sedition.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, there were people who were saying that the defense did have something of a relevant point there. But
they had merit in their case.
Yeah, it wasn't gold fringe on the flag bullshit. It was an actual attempt at a real legal defense. And at the end of the day, the jury was like, yeah, it's okay for some of them, but not Stewart and his buddy Kelly. They're at the top of the list, and they did the big boy crime. So they're going to go to jail probably for forever. So, yeah. So I'm sure Alex Jones pouring out a 40 for his boy, Stuart Rhodes, not going to be on InfoWars anymore. So, I mean, by the time.
Can he currently afford a 40 to pour out?
He's got about, if I understand how long appeals take, he's got a clock of maybe 18 months, but the judge in the judge in Connecticut put a freeze on his accounts. He's not supposed to move money or spend anything other than normal living expenses. So he can afford a 40, but not more than one.
Yeah, that second 40 gets him before the judge being like, hey, Alex, are you going to go to AA, or was this a luxury purchase that we deem to be unacceptable? So which is it?
What, did you think that puffiness was natural, Your Honor? Oh,
yeah, no kidding. God.
Your Honor, my client is red and puffy the way that only alcohol can provide. Except for except for maybe some harder drugs that you don't want to admit to in front of the court.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we're getting into the Boosh segment this week on a win, which feels good. Let's get to the weekly horror show that is our fucking headline segment.
From the digital headlines to the digital front lines, it's Q's in the News.
All right.
Top headline for this week. I demand that we start with the Kanye West stuff, because I love seeing the recently newly christened Ye. being brought down by Donald Trump. I love that, like, a combination of his mental illness and his, like, deciding to affiliate himself with conservative politics is just immediately destroying Kanye West's, like, empire from the inside out. So, Mike, what did Kanye West, or Ye, as he's known now, do this week?
So the first thing that happened in this week of Ye drama was he had a sit-down chat with former President Donald Trump. And this meeting was apparently just off the rails, bonkers, batshit. First, we had the fact that he had his buddy Nick Fuentes, who is just the absolute worst human being on God's green earth. And the fact that they managed to get Fuentes within arm's reach of Trump is a sign that Trump's, like, retinue are totally asleep at the switch here.
Brew and Alex Jones producer, no less.
Oh, outstanding. Just fucking and
Alex,
perfect.
And Alex Jones producer hooked up Milo and Nick with Ye and then got them, and then that's how they got together, and then they went and had dinner with Trump. Is this the dinner where he asked Trump to be his running mate?
Yes. Kanye?
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. This is where Ye was like, look, Don, I'm running for president in 2024. I'd like you to be my vice president. I think that would work out really great for both of us. And I would just love to have seen Trump's reaction to this. I mean, because for as dumb, shitty, and worthless as Trump is, he fucking was president. The idea that this guy who's going to get maybe 2% of the vote in a Republican primary ever was like, yo, Trump, let's just do this up. The yay Trump ticket. I think this works. Like, oh man, I because all Trump has in his narcissism infused brain is just like anger at being slighted and joy at being praised. The idea that Ye was like, hey, how does Vice President Trump strike you? I mean, it's just, oh my God. He had to have been just like having his skin crawl as he was trying to figure out, yeah, like, how do I talk to this weird moron who just said the most offensive thing you possibly could say to me, Donald Trump? And so that happened. And then after the lunch, Trump was just sort of like, hey, that the guy that was next to Kanye, I had no idea who he was. Nobody knew. It was a total mystery to us. This Nick Fuentes, I think is what it says on this thing here. I guess, question mark.
No, now, I'm sure our listeners know who Nick Fuentes is, but I had to do a little more digging. I didn't realize how much of a shitbag he was. I just knew he went hand in hand with being a Holocaust denier. I did not know at age 18, and I think he's 21 now, he went to the Unite the Right rally and is on video marching and chanting with tiki torches and everything.
Yeah, the thing that makes this so annoying is the fact that Nick's now getting mainstream buzz, and they played one of his more ridiculous clips where he talked about how having sex with women is gay, and and I get it. Dunking on him is awesome, and he's a weirdly asexual or probably gay man who can't come to grips with these things, but the problem was that Jimmy Fallon, when he played this clip of the whole, like, banging women makes you gay thing, he introduced it as saying that this Nick Fuentes guy, he's an anti-vaxxer, he's an election denier, and here's his dumb views on sexuality. And the crowd all yucks it up. It's like, yo, Jimmy, you might want to lead with the Holocaust denial. And we're not just talking, like, boring, bland, like, ah, the Holocaust didn't happen or blah, blah, blah. Nick Fuentes is one of those in-the-weeds Holocaust deniers who, like, knows the excuses. Like, there's a video clip of him joking about 6 million cookies being made in an oven. And he goes through all the excuses that neo-Nazis use about the Holocaust. Like, he talked about, like, at one point, he's like, yeah, and at one point, the Red Cookie Cross said that, like, only 200 or 300,000 cookies were made, and that sounds more realistic. And, like, that shit is when you really know your Holocaust denial stuff and you're getting into the weeds on it. That's, like, it's the difference between the grassy knoll and the storm drain when you're talking about JFK conspiracy nut jobs, because it's just, like,
Oh man, I literally just found out about the storm drain thanks to our having to talk about the -42 dub dubs recently. So I had no idea about like a storm. The storm drain's conspiracy theory was blissfully new to me. I think it's hilarious.
Right?
Yeah, there's like basically once the shot from the front when people were like, "Hey, there was no one on the grassy knoll. The angle doesn't work." Blah blah blah. There's a storm drain like near the grassy knoll, like right next under the road where Kennedy's limo was going by. So the theory was someone poked a gun out from the storm drain, shot the president, and then just dipped back down, ran through the swords, and escaped.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, right, exactly. So
I haven't done anywhere near as much on that as you, but I've listened to like 7 or 8 hours of like Kennedy conspiracies, and that one has never come up.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's how you know. That's how you know you're in the weeds is when you're busting out that kind of shit.
Ooh, yeah,
so like that's okay. The level of Holocaust denial Nick Fuentes is using. He was going through all the greatest hits I've seen neo-Nazis use. So it's just like, yo, Jimmy Kimmel, when you open up with the, here's this weird guy with some weird views on sex, and he's also a weirdo. By the way, he's also a hardcore neo-Nazi and Holocaust denier. You might want to, I know that might like impact the yucks your crowd gets out of watching this guy talk about how banging broads makes you gay, but no, you should probably lead with that. You should probably be like, now look, this guy is funny and we're gonna laugh at him because he's a dum-dum, but also fucking monster that we need to condemn for his monstrousness.
Nick Fuentes and Milo are definitely using Kanye, like they're literally using him to enhance their own to network and like enhance their own. Milo's trying to come back, and he's definitely been around in the shadows, creeping around, like, networking, obviously. And Nick is using this as a springboard to, like, touch people who have real power. Nick Fuentes never should have been let within 10,000 miles of Trump. There, I don't know, like, he has to still have a team, and the fact that they let Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes like in the same room with him, it, like whoever's on his political team just needs absolutely like I don't understand how they're
well,
not
the problem
fired.
Is that, well, Donald Trump is a star fucker, and hemorrhaging all of his clout all at once like a spaceship whose fuel cell has been ruptured notwithstanding, Ye is still a star. So maybe they were just like, maybe they did know, and they were just like, ooh, maybe we should tell totally still legitimately the President Trump that these people are people he shouldn't dine with. That they were like, okay, hey, Mr. President, you shouldn't dine with these people. And he was just like, it's Kanye West, shut the fuck up. And they were like, actually, he goes by Ye now. And he was just like, what did I just tell you about shutting the fuck up?
Right. I'm gonna have dinner with Kanye West and his weird little friends. Don't rate in this conversation at all. There's no way I'm walking into some sort of weird trap that's gonna make me look bad. I'm Donald Trump. I'm the savviest dude in the world. And
speaking of which, didn't Milo claim that it was a trap, that it was on purpose? Because Milo is obviously like a dumb idiot who's gonna play every angle very transparently and try to get something to stick.
Yeah, Milo was like, "Yeah, we got in the room with Trump to make him look bad because we want him to be, we basically want to tarnish Trump by associating him with Holocaust deniers, so that Trump will have no choice but to embrace the alt-right for his presidential run because he's going to offend regular MAGA by hanging out with Nick Fuentes." But the thing is that Trump is not going to do that. He's just going to say, I didn't know who Nick Fuentes was, and I'm Trump, and the Republican base still loves me, so fuck off, you're going to vote for me anyways. And that's basically what's going to happen. But
and I have to give it to him, I didn't know what that thing was is honestly the most like powerful move Trump could ever use, because it's just so believable.
Yes.
Because I've seen what happens when he gets pressed on any issue, and it becomes clear that he doesn't know anything about anything. So didn't actually know who those people were.
Hey, I mean, this is a guy who drew Sharpie on a map of where a hurricane was going, so it would go where he, like he thought it would actually change the course of the hurricane, and then, like, presented it to all of us, and we were just supposed to believe it.
Honest like, question, do you think Donald Trump believes that Kanye West, now Ye, made sneakers? Do you think that like that he's like
well, the, that he he's made he's, them he's himself.
Like Yeah, he's like, I know this guy. I hear about him because of sneakers, right? He's just like, oh, this guy, he's like Mike Lindell for sneakers.
Man.
I can see that. I could absolutely see that.
If that came out, I would believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so this then led to Yi going on Tim Pool's podcast and that's the correct answer to that question. But basically, Tim Pool he's the guy who has Linkin Park's the Offspring's drummer who wouldn't get vaccinated now drums for Tim Pool in his sad little alt-right emo band. But our boy Tim, who wears a beanie, and that's his only redeeming quality, is that he's.
Oh, right. I recall this dunking. We were dunking on him because he looked like Doc off Linkin Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tim Pool's a shitbag with a nice podcast studio that we will never have. And he has a bunch of Alex Jones cast off on his show because he's marginally more acceptable. So,
but Tim Pool, if you were to say a racist or anti-Semitic thing to get us over the hump and make enough money to get that office, what would it be?
Oh, well.
I open the floor to you.
I mean, there's just so many.
So anyways, Yi went on Tim Pool's show, which is still allowed on YouTube. Because he tries to toe that line between overt and subtle anti-Semitism, and basically, like, he gave them, like, Kanye was basically doing his whole Jews are ruining the world thing, and Tim was just sort of like, hey, I'm going to give you the mildest, like, literally the mildest pushback about where you're going with this. And Yi was like, I'm done. Just literally he, Nick Fuentes, and Milo all got up and walked out of the interview immediately and could not be cajoled to going back. Because if you're not allowed to, if they can't be openly anti-Semitic on your podcast, just done. We're done here. We're out. Like,
And Tim Pool's very minor defense Kanye had on, is calling him Yi a respect thing? I don't know. Like, why? Where's that name coming from?
He legally changed his name, as far as I know.
Oh,
yeah, he's okay. Yi.
Okay, sure. I'm gonna just use them back and forth. So, Kanye on two or three more times before that had said, if I'm not allowed to be, and I'm paraphrasing here, if I'm not allowed to be anti-Semitic. I'm just going to get up and walk off this podcast. And he said that multiple times. And it is my personal belief that he fully intended to get up and walk out of that podcast.
Well, yeah. And just in case it was raining when he did, he wanted to wear those awful fucking boots. So he did. And then there's that collection of the collection of hilarious photos of them palling around in, like, where were they? Virginia or whatever? Like, I want to say it was like Roanoke, Virginia, or thereabouts. Some weird place. They're just like palling around. They went out for like hibachi, and there are like hilarious photos of Ye taking pictures with people. And he just looks fucking miserable. He looks miserable, probably because he's in the middle of some sort of like prolonged mental break. But legally, nobody can fucking get him out of it. So we just like have to watch him destroy everything.
Yeah, you can't make someone take antipsychotics, and in a lot of people's defense, I've known several people with bipolar, I don't know if, like, and I've been around them when they were having a break, and they didn't, you know, start saying, all lawyers are Jews, and they're ruining my life, and my personal trainer is an MK Ultra agent, and was trying to have me arrested. That's a thing he said.
But that does, I mean, as far as I know, that does actually just sound like high-level paranoid thinking. Like, if you're having an episode of something that includes paranoia, like, suddenly...
Oh, for sure.
I mean, like, it seems very easy to paint all, like, to just be like, oh, like, I feel like everybody is an agent out to get me. Who could possibly have the pull to pull all of this together? And that, you know, thanks to the society and cultural mores and, you know, the stain of World War II and Nazism and all that stuff, and anti-Semitism over thousands of years, suddenly the answer comes to him. Well, of course, the Jews.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
And now he's surrounded himself with Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes
Both. Now, I will say, for the record, I'm not a doctor or anything, so I'm not by any means trying to say that this is definitely Yay having some sort of breakdown. He could just be a bad person. There are plenty of people out there who just suck.
It so can maybe, be both.
Maybe he's perfectly lucid right now, and he's just like, fuck it, like, my marriage fell apart, and, like, you know, I've just sort of decided to embrace what I've always believed, that I hate this huge group of people, or whatever.
And, yeah, the IRS is coming for him, because seems like maybe Ye hasn't been paying his taxes correctly for a long time.
That's not true.
Time.
That's impossible. Shut up. That's not paying the right amount of taxes. I'm not even sure if that's possible. I can't imagine a world where that's a thing.
No. And, no shot.
He
wrote
Wesley Snipes. He was always my favorite growing up. Surely he never had any trouble with his taxes.
but yeah, if you can find the clips from the Tim Pool podcast. I didn't think...
Don't do that. What? No, don't tell our people to go find these clips. That's do no, that single not, not from bullshit. Tim Pool.
But I didn't think Kanye could be more anti-Semitic. Every time he's fully mask off anti-Semitic now. It's not even a double down anymore. He's doubled down so many times it's lost all meaning. It's just full on. Like, no questions.
Well, unfortunately, his bad boy behavior is losing him a lot of his sponsorship deals. Famously, he is no longer affiliated with Adidas, and who knows? So he's going to need to get some money coming in, and there's a good chance that he might be able to pair up with the good folks at Balenciaga, who we're going to talk about now. Transitioning away from our discussion about Ye and Trump and all those clowns, let's talk about corporate clowns. A brand that maybe you know about, maybe you don't, called Balenciaga is in the news this week, and I'll throw it over to Mike to explain why.
So, Balenciaga, which I knew nothing about before this whole kerfluffle happened, they had a ad campaign which featured in it teddy bears that were wearing BDSM gear, which immediately got QAnon and all kinds of right-wing pearl clutchers all hot and bothered and freaked out over.
Now, for the record, I have seen this photo. I don't know if you guys have actually seen the photo in question.
Yeah,
it is weird. I genuinely don't know what they would be trying to communicate with it. It's just like you can't see the head. It's like from mid torso down, a shot of a child like walking down the street wearing like a t-shirt or whatever. Like I seem to remember it being sort of sepia tone. But in their right hand, sort of like at their side, is a teddy bear wearing what is clearly bondage fetish gear, like leather riff cuffs and like ankle bracelets, like anklets with like chains and stuff on them, and something over the mouth, I believe. And that's sort of it. And they're wearing like big oversized sneakers, and they're walking down what looks like a dirt road. I don't have it up in front of me. I'm just from memory. This is what I recall. So I'm just like, hey, like, what the fuck are you trying? Like, what are you trying to sell me? I don't even know what's being sold. It seems like is this like a UNICEF thing? If so, what's the deal with the teddy bear and bondage? Is it like a bondage thing? If so, what's the deal with the actual child? I'm so confused.
Right. It is a photo that obviously missed the mark on every possible direction it could be aiming at. And on top of that, you are putting yourself in a spot where lunatics can take the image of the teddy bear and the BDSM gear and the fact that it's with a child and start making comments about child sexuality, child trafficking.
Well, you heard about the second photo in this. I didn't know if you were building up to it, but you know, for the little bit of research I did on this ahead of the show, because I needed to find out what Balenciaga is, which I still don't really know what they sell. Yeah. I just know that they are brand now. I needed to make sure that wasn't a person.
Right.
Apparently one of these other photos, it was like an office, and in the office there was like a case that had a case number that referenced some like child pornography case or whatever.
Yes.
So it's like that's either a weird coincidence or they were really trying something here, and it's just like, what's going on? So In terms of things to get a conspiracy theory-minded hive of nut bars all, like, violently vibrating their abdomens to ward off predators, this is the sort of thing I could see getting them real excited about. Because it does seem like there's, like, a strong indicator here that something is amiss, even if there's not, just because of, like, it could just be a wild coincidence. But if it is, it's enough of a whammy of a coincidence that I could see people getting fired up over it.
Yeah. Wait, is Balenciaga the one that made Kanye's White Lives Matter shirt?
They may have, but I he was selling those himself, so he might have. That might have been a Yee promotion of its own.
No, sorry.
But they
cut ties with him after he did that.
Okay, yeah,
sorry.
But he was wearing their boots in his sad boy post Trump hangout interviews. So yeah. So that nonsense was going on. But Liz Crokin and other pizza gators are now all over this, because this is how they get attention. This is how they make themselves relevant. And QAnon is all over. They're like, Balenciaga being exposed for what they're doing. This proves that we're winning and that the Great Awakening is real and that we're tapping into the zeitgeist and we're affecting public consciousness in a way that, like, you would have been impossible before.
Yeah, this seems like the Wayfair thing, but with, like, a force multiplier of there actually being a photo of a child involved.
Right.
So, yeah, Balenciaga has released a statement. Do you want to hear their statement?
Oh, their statement followed by their massive lawsuit against the photographer who ran the ad campaign.
Yeah, that we sincerely apologize for any offense our holiday campaign may have caused. Our plush bear bags should not have been featured with children. In this campaign, we've immediately removed the campaign from all platforms. And then, like, further down, we take this matter very seriously and are taking legal action against the parties for creating the set and including unapproved items for our spring 23 campaign. We take child safety very poor and well-being very seriously. Yeah. Mike,
this is their holiday ad campaign. Happy holiday. Here's a kid with a bondage bear. It's brought to you by the Build-A-Bear Group.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's all connected. I've got my fingers making a circle around my eye as I speak.
We're not Ron Braverman. Repeat. We're not Ron. Yeah. They're suing whoever put those nasty things on the set. We're suing them.
They're basically suing the people that they the people they outsourced the ad campaign to. They're suing them. So sorry, ad campaign people, you're being aggressively thrown under the bus by Balenciaga for this incident that probably was their fault, but they ain't going to take blame for it now because they're getting way too much heat on them. And they need an audience to sell $650 Simpsons t-shirts to. So
if these photographers want to be cleared, all they have to do is show me the email they sent to their supervisor being like, are you sure I'm supposed to be taking weird photos of a kid holding a fetish bear? And if they're just like, yes, do your job, idiot, then I will absolve them. Otherwise, at some point, somebody probably should have been asking the question as to why the child is next to the fetish. Like, what's the deal with the child in this fetish?
Yeah,
and as of 2 hours ago, Steven Crowder put out a video about how just satanic panic shit with all this Balenciaga stuff, because it's all a satanic child pedophile conspiracy.
Oh, and according to him. Yeah, and Andrew Tate is doing the Illuminati shit with it, and the method of revelation where they have to tell you what they're doing. We're going back to the vampire has to be welcomed into the building. We're doing that shit again. Just the Matrix has to give you a choice. It's just all this fucking trope shit that's been around about this stuff for forever. And they're just going to keep repeating it for every new thing. And people are going to buy into it because it's a well-established thing that exists in folklore and pop culture. And it's how these dum-dums keep getting clicks and likes and comments and attention. Because it sounds appealing. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but whatever.
Wow. I hadn't seen any of these things. I'm looking at the actual very controversial photo. Holy shit. Not just the bear, but the kid. surrounded by...
It's really hard to, like, properly... The kids... It strikes me as sort of, like, dust bowl-y, right? The kid sort of looks, like, sort of impoverished. It's weird. It's certainly just, like, a bad... If you're trying to sell something with that, it's bad. Like, everything about that sucks. It doesn't make me want to buy anything. And it's not... Like, the people that would use that for consumerism, you probably don't want to be courting.
Yeah.
So, wow. Anyway... Yeah. Balenciaga, unforced error. What a bunch of clowns! Certainly a lighter and fluffier piece. Because I don't think anyone was like actually trying to just be like, "Yo, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna use this major boutique brand to sneak some CP adjacent stuff to the masses." I just think it was a bunch of people with very poor judgment and very weird artistic sensibilities, like really fucking it. And I do think that they were probably trying to be at least minorly antagonistic with it. But when it comes to stuff like this, any amount of antagonism is too much. It's going to drive people fucking bananas.
Yeah. Comedy may be legal on Twitter again, but hey, let's just not make funny goof 'em up jokes about child endangerment. And let's just not. Maybe.
Can we not, please? That would be really nice if we could avoid doing that. That'd be just lovely. It would be absolutely lovely.
I will say that only the Sith speaks in absolutes. if only because, and like, this is a real tough thing to devil's advocate for, but I did, so when, what was it, Warner Brothers, their Smash Brothers game, Multiverses, is that what it's called? I think it's Multiverses.
Yep.
When that got announced, somebody did some pretty funny fan art of just, like, Harley Quinn and Shaggy from Scooby-Doo and Batman just, like, ruthlessly beating a Steven Universe, like, who's just, like, kind of curled up on the ground, and they're just, like, surrounding him, like, kicking him. And that is highlighting this weird, like, that is a joke that I think is fair play, despite the fact that the punchline is a bunch of adults whooping on a kid, because in this particular instance, like, it's highlighting sort of this weird total disconnect with, like, this actual product that's being pitched to consumers. Like, hey, this funny game, like, yes, you can be Superman, and yes, you can beat the snot out of Steven Universe, confirmed child. And probably other children. Hey, do you like all the actual kids from Avatar? I'd be sure they've got superpowers, but that doesn't make them any less 12. Time for the Iron Giant to show up and just really, really beat the shit out of them. And this is just like the sort of like standard suspension of disbelief stuff you have to get on board with to consume a lot of our media. So I think, but I did see somebody taking offense to that particular picture on Twitter. Somebody was exactly just like, "Is this supposed to be funny? The punchline is like, abuse of a child." And I was just like, "Oh boy." I roll sequence initiated. I was just like, just let it go. Like, this, why do you have to fight this fight on this picture? Save the good fight for, like, actual stuff.
Also, if you're playing this game, are you not going to engage with the person playing Steven Universe? Are you just going to demand that no one play that character against you because you don't want to hit a fictional child? Like...
Yeah, who knows? It's not our call to make where the line is drawn. I'm just saying that maybe save your efforts for a stronger battle.
Yeah, digital heroism and morality is weird and, like, hollow as it is. Like, play any game where you have to go save 5 people and then you're done with the quest. Like, are you not going to save the rest of them? Yeah, fuck off.
Nope.
That'd be great. I want to play World of Warcraft, and I'm just like, I'm on a hardcore RP server where the first crummy zone my character gets to, where there's like a perpetual spawning amount of people in danger. I'm just going to stay there and grind it out until I'm max level. And if anybody asks me why, I'm just like, I don't know what hellish witchcraft is happening here, but every time I save one, another replaces it. And I'm going, man.
Exactly.
Anyway, so we went a little bit long on some of those. So let's skip right to the last headline item for the week, and that's going to be some new Q drops. Mike,
do we have?
Hark! If you listen, I believe it's the voice of Q.
It is, and there were three Q drops, but one of them was actually nothing. But I'll cover it very quickly. But here is the first thing that Q had to say to us in his glorious return.
Be aware of false prophets. I am not a prophet. You are not a prophet. We are not prophets. Focus on the mission.
So yeah, Q doesn't want you dealing with prophecy or people like spinning a yarn. He wants you to focus on the mission. The plan.
No, this is about me. I started playing XCOM again, and my guy on my team just rolled the random code name of Prophet. This is about me. Beware of false prophets. Fuck them. The rest. It's the healer on my XCOM team. His name's Prophet. He's really dope.
Excellent.
This one's solved. It's in the bag.
Good. Good. Now,
fuck off. It meant nothing.
Yeah, the thing that's really important about this cue drop, and there's actually a second thing that I'll get to after we play the other one, but the thing that was in this cue drop that a lot of people noticed was that Q referred to themselves as I, which is something Q has never done previously. Because in the QAnon lore, Q is a part of Q Team, which is a group of 10 people, or less than 10, as Q has said, and that they are the people that meet around the table and work on the operation to defeat the bad guys and save the deep state, and Trump is Q Plus and blah, blah, blah. So Q is a collective. Q is supposed to be a group of people. So Q referring to themselves as I was very strange, because Q has never given themselves the gravitas of being a singular person waging this battle against the deep state, because that's literally not what they were according to their own story, their own mythology. And when this was brought up to Jim Watkins on one of his live streams, that Karma, who made the list, unlike me, the worthless scum poker, Karma posted the stream of Jim. And when Jim had it brought to his attention that Q did this, and someone was like, hey, Q used a pronoun for himself, this is ridiculous, he went on this angry, transphobic tirade about pronouns. People are using pronouns now. And blah, blah, blah. Is Q trying to like signal to the transgender people? I don't know what Q's doing here. It's real. Pronouns are so weird. And it's like, no, Jim, you're mad because someone brought up the fact that like Q is not an I. They are a they. And this isn't gender. This isn't that. This isn't non-binary. No, this is the actual movement and what Q is supposed to be as a group. And you were just sitting there, and you were, I don't know why you had a hair up your ass about false prophets and being mad at people, but you were like, I'm gonna let everyone know that anyone predicting shit's fucking wrong, and I'm not a prophet. And then someone's like, hey, wait a minute, Q's not an I. And then Jim's like, ah, you're talking like one of them weird trans people. Fucking nut job, idiot. So yeah. So again, Jim Watkins, really good at writing cue drops, just aggressively stepping on his own dick yet again.
Yeah, what a tremendous blunder. I was supposed to get fired for that blunder.
Yeah, exactly. So now, the second cue drop was literally someone was like, hey, Q, are you going to do a Q&A soon? And he's like, yeah, sure thing, bro. So yeah, great. We're going to get a question and answer session from Q soon. And he won't aggressively curate the questions to make sure that he doesn't answer anything too spicy. So that'll be fun. But the third cue drop was, I will play now, but the thing about this is remember the first cue drop, which was literally, let's not get into this prophecy shit, let's not deal with all sort of magical hoodoo nonsense, let's focus on the mission. So let's get ready for some totally mission-driven, total real politics, serious stuff here in the new cue drop.
What is coded in your DNA? Who put it there? Why? Mankind is repressed. We will be repressed no more. Information is knowledge. Knowledge is power. Information is power. How do you protect your DNA? There is a war for your DNA. Protect your DNA. Ascension.
Jim is much worse at this than Ron.
Although for what it's worth, that would at least that's a spicy thing to decode, because it could mean all sorts of horrible right wing bullshit. Is it like an anti-vax message? Is it like a racial purity message? Is it a religious thing? It is vague enough to be interesting enough to the people that desperately want whatever Q says to be interesting.
Oh, you said vax, and my brain like clicked into gear. It's got to be a vaccine thing, right? Like,
yeah, but I mean, there are people that are talking about how this is like fucking starseed shit, and how there's like a fucking god code in our DNA and all this kind of stuff. I mean, this is like Galactic Federation kind of stuff. And that's what makes this drop so fucking bizarre, because the first drop is just, there are no faults, don't trust prophets, we're not a prophet, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then the next drop immediately after that is, I've talked to God, and God has some information about your DNA that he wants to share with you via me, Q, the prophet of God, which just really blew my mind that, like, how do you go from talking about false prophets to then snap cutting to, let's talk about the message God sent to you in the DNA. Let's talk about that.
What is hidden in your DNA?
Like, right. Yeah. What secret messages, what hidden formulas, what could you possibly unlock from your DNA? And it's like, how could you know that, good sir, if you were not a prophet who directly talks to God? Like, because the only person who could have put something in your DNA is God, unless you're just talking about your mom and your dad who made your DNA, because that's literally how DNA works. But that is not cool, because that's just linear thought that's boring. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, that was so wild that we went right from focus on the mission, folks. Let's tighten this shit up. We got to get Kerry Lake in office. We got to overturn that Arizona audit. We got to do X, Y, and Z to, let's talk about some DNA. Let's talk about some starseed stuff or vaccine stuff or, like Aryan Nation bloodline stuff.
Yeah.
Any of those things. Yeah. That's totally mission focused. That's mission driven.
Like, any Q followers have the brains to do anything with DNA. Like,
yeah.
What?
I'm gonna protect my DNA. I'm gonna cancel that like purchase I made with 23andMe, because that's obviously they're coming for my DNA at 23andMe or whatever. Oh my god! Like, what are we doing here? What planet are we on?
Well, we're on a planet where we're getting new Q drops. Maybe we should just be thankful for that.
Oh yes, thank God for that.
Maybe on Christmas, Q will post an obscured photo of themselves holding an obscured photo of a decapitated head that may or may not be Jim Watkins's, and then we can finally be free. We'll know that real Q Daddy has returned.
That'd be the greatest. Oh, it'd be so good. If only we could have our real dad back.
And again, everything is very obscured in shadow, so it could be anyone. But those are my guesses as to who those entities are in this hypothetical situation.
Yes, absolutely.
Do we only get two dumb, worthless new Jim Q jobs? I hate Jim
Q jobs. No, we got three. One of them was him going 10-4, good buddy. We're definitely going to do a Q&A. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We just didn't have Frosty voice that one, because who gives a fuck?
Yeah, sorry, I fully, like, I was waiting for a, oh god, like, blink it from my own mind, because it was such nothing. Wow,
we got two, technically three, but really only two new Q drops, and already Sarge is he's like, where's the rest?
Yes,
aren't there Veruca Salt? Calm down, it's coming. You gotta let the man work.
I hate Jim Q drops. They're bad.
Wait, give him time to settle in.
Yes, he's got to work his way into being Q. He's got to find his voice. Yeah, the other Q drop was literally an anon on the forums asking Q&A, ? And then Q replying in time. So at some point, he's going to set up a Q&A. The last Q&A Q did went really well, because he said that JFK Jr. was dead and the earth is round, which upset a lot of people. So I'm sure Jim will not step on a million rakes if he actually does a Q&A, because it'll just go great.
It's cube earth. I've always been saying it. The earth is a cube.
Yes.
The evidence supports, all the science supports cube earth. Anyway, speaking of stupid people that are not qualified to answer questions via Q&A, let's get into our listener mailbag and our segment we call Q&A.
Our listeners got questions. We got answers. It's time for Q&A.
Pancake Peasant made it just under the gun, because this was posted while we were recording. It's only 41 minutes old.
My God.
What is the worst live action anime adaption and why?
Ooh. God. The Full Metal Alchemist one is pretty bad, just because a lot of the effects work and they have to take.
It's definitely not worse than Dragon Ball. Like, I know that you've probably got a point to make, but I'm going to head it off with just a straight-up fact that Dragon Ball Evolution is way worse.
Yeah, I mean, you said that. That one's so, yeah, nothing
you
can beat that.
You didn't even remember it existed. Like, because I think the biggest cardinal sin of Dragon Ball Evolution is that, like, it was a Western production that did have, like, sort of a budget. So the fact that they came back with something that was so out of touch with the source material was astonishing. And it looked awful.
Oh, yeah, just gibberish. So nothing beats that one. That one is the king of them all. But if we're just talking about Japanese produced ones, the Full Metal Alchemist one is pretty fucking bad because they try and take like 60 episodes and smash them into one movie, and nothing has any weight and everything looks terrible.
Now it looks really good, but I will ask you this: what about the Yatterman adaptation from Takashi Miike?
That one was fucking gibberish. It was so weird.
It's incredibly bizarre. Which is like true to the source material in theory, but like not, I don't think, in the way that you're expecting. Takashi Miike is a real weirdo. I love that guy.
I forgot about the Netflix live action Death Note. That one was real fucking bad.
See, I mean, it wasn't great, but I feel like just the fact that they went out of their way to get Willem Dafoe for what's his face there, the Death Angel, I thought that was close Ryuk. Enough to
Ryuk.
Yeah, Ryuk. Close enough to a genuinely good idea and effort to make it better than Dragon Ball Evolution. When they're just like, hey, you know who should be Goku? Some white kid. You've never heard of him before.
Yeah.
You'll never hear of him again. Yeah. Like, okay, well, probably not. Also, for the record, there is a contender, but only if you're the sort of person that would consider Avatar The Last Airbender an anime, the boy howdy is there a contender, and I think a better option, because M. Night Shyamalan's adaptation definitely had a budget. It had a tremendous budget, and there's no reason it should have been as bad as it was.
Yeah, it's just yet again someone not understanding the source material.
Yeah, like literally I, with no anime brain at all, was just like Airbender and Dragon Ball Z were really bad, and they were my answer because I don't have anything else. I'm puddle deep on this issue, so I can talk about the storm drain, but I don't get a lot of questions about the Kennedy assassination in the mailbag, nor do I want them. So
yeah, don't worry. Sometimes we get relevant on topic questions about QAnon stuff, and that is where Sarge and I are puddle deep.
Yes. So Reverend Xenofact, thank you for that question. But Reverend Xenofact asks, if Trump, Elon, and either Watkins were dual colored magic cards, what colors would they be and what abilities would they have? Feel free to digress. Elon would be a blue black card, where like the blue one would be like a control magic effect, and the black card would be a ruin or kill effect. So it would be like take, destroy. It'd be like a picture of him grabbing the Twitter bird, and then the other side would be the Twitter bird being killed. So I think that would be the Elon card.
I think Trump is some sort of like fat red green creature with hard to remove, but with some sort of drawback, some sort of like you have to like sacrifice a like an old Lord of the Pit style card. It's like 4 mana 8/8 indestructible trample, and at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice it unless you sacrifice another creature. Some sort of shit like that.
Yeah,
he has real rumbling slum vibes.
Yeah, but you know, but better, because it's 2022 and rumbling slum would like be laughably bad these days. You look at it and just laugh at yourself how bad it was.
Adorable. That's one of my favorite things about old Magic cards. We're like, oh my god, that card was so good back in the day. Yeah, now it'd be unplayable trash because creatures are 10 times better than they were before.
Yeah.
Who were the other targets? It was Elon, Trump, and who else?
The Watkins boys.
The Watkins boys? Yikes.
I don't know. They'd be one of the new dumb fuse cards. And if you get them both in play, they flip over and become Q.
I'd say they're each individually legendary double-sided creature cards that are bad on their face and have a flip condition where they turn into Q, who is also bad. But they turn into different versions of Q, and the Ron one is actually kind of playable. The Jin one sucks.
I was going to say that Ron is merely the bonus pilot card for the Killdozer card, so that when you get the Killdozer down, if you have Ron, it gets benefits. Like, Ron can pilot the Killdozer more effectively than other cards.
And it has Ron and Jim are both, like, they're both Marvel overpower cards that somehow got, like, misprinted into magic packs. So when you open one, you're like, what the fuck? What the hell is this?
The Ron one makes clue tokens, but it's however you do it is, like, over costed and isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. I feel like we've served up a nice Magic the Gathering style riff for a bunch of dum-dums.
Yes. Okay, so Confidently Befuddled asks, what passion project would each of you work on if you had unlimited resources?
I'd love to have a board gaming channel of some sort. That sounds really fun because, you know, there's a lot of people that do it now, but, like, Will Wheaton's gone, and he discussed, like, the budget for their full production was, like, a ton of money back in the day. And, you know, anime girl VTuber, I'd just be a full-on VTuber. But no, I wouldn't mind a gaming channel, a board gaming channel of some sort, and or streaming. Some, like, non-joke or some sort of streaming. That sounds really fun. Not podcasting, for sure.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to answer this question, depending on how you want to read into it, whether, like, at what scale of practicality versus, like, genie wish sort of style. Like, unlimited funds is a lot of funds. So I'll give a broad spectrum of answers. Practically, I would like to, I think it'd be neat to own, like a sort of, like, higher-end board game cafe. We were talking about this the last time I saw Sarge in person, and it just seemed like it would be a good idea to have, like, a board game cafe for, like, you know, 21 plus, and, like, with, like, a higher, because a lot of the board game cafes I've been to have, like, been really nice outfits, but the actual board games, like, themselves get sort of ratty over time. So I feel like if you had unlimited funds, you could pay people to be, like, board game sommeliers. They could be the ones handling the board game for setup and takedown, and you play them, and then in this way they could also do upkeep on the games to make them look less ratty and decrepit. But if I have a medium amount of unlimited funds, like I'm Elon Musk, but I don't have, like, a genie just pouring an unlimited gold into my coffers, I would love to spend an insane amount of money to get a bunch of people to design City of Heroes, but good. I want City of Heroes, but good so bad. I like the stuff that they got right with the character creation and, like, the way that their encounters scaled up in quantity of enemies and not necessarily in, like, difficulty of enemies, was great. So I would love that experience like that, but actually good on all the other fronts. And if I have genie unlimited money, full dive VR/upload. My passion is to get my brain into a computer in some way. If I have to have my meat body still anchored to Earth to get that to work, so be it. But if I can just get my entire consciousness into a computer, I would love to do that.
I'll stick to the regular level money thing, and I would love to design, like, a really awesome series of escape rooms. I love escape rooms. They are so much fun, and I really think that being able to I just feel like it's an untapped market in a lot of ways, because I just, like, see people working on stuff, and there's really bizarre sort of thoughts about in the escape room community about stuff. Like, someone, I did a room, and after the room was over, this guy was like, oh yeah, this is like a level 3, this is like a version 3 room where there's no visible locks anywhere. And I was just sort of like, yeah, I did get that after I did it, but it didn't, like, pop for me. It didn't make me go, oh man, a lockless room, how good. Because a lot of the fun for me walking into an escape room is looking at all the locks and being like, okay, there's a four letter word that's going to unlock that lock there. We need a three number combination here, four number combination here. And we got a lock over here that needs a key. So let's look around the rooms. There's a closet over there. Check out the pockets of the clothes. See if there's a key. I like that kind of, like, introduction to a room where you can, like, suss out things instead of you walk into a room and, like, everything's, like, opaque and weird, and you're sort of like, okay, so we got some panels over there. do something with them, I guess. I mean, it's just...
Mike, like, you need to stop being so practical. Embrace the genie wish money. Imagine how great your escape room would be if it was like a resort experience for groups of 8 people at a time, like, because you've purchased 14 city blocks in Detroit. And yeah. It's just like, hey, you need to escape. So, like, welcome to the room. It is the name of this district. You cannot leave this district. You have to escape the district. Your time limit is 7 days. Like, and it's just like a resort experience. It's like puzzles for a whole week at your own speed. And, like, when you're not puzzling, you get to go to one of the various cafes with, like, funny pun names. Like, welcome to the Blacklight. We're here to serve you beans. Are there solutions to the puzzle here? Maybe. I don't know. Probably.
That'd be awesome. When I win Powerball, we're going to create the room, the district. Yes. That is awesome. If I had that kind of dumb money, I think trying to produce a television show that had a ridiculous budget would probably be like my dream there. Because everyone's got ideas for stories in their head. Everyone thinks they can write the next Game of Thrones with an actual real ending. So yeah, I mean, like, that would be that. I would just go take George R. R. Martin's lunch money. It would be like, if I had FU money, I'd be like, screw you, George. I'm going to actually stick the landing. Unlike you, you dumb dumb. And he's like, I'm still doing House of the Dragon and making money hand over fist. And I'm like, yep, you did. Congratulations on beating capitalism, George. Even though you had no idea how to end your story, and the showrunners had even less. So,
wow, if you want to see somebody who's like sort of in the same pocket as George R. R. Martin, who truly defeated capitalism, just check out Notch, the guy who created Minecraft.
When he got
his payday, he was literally just like, find me the most expensive mansion in Beverly Hills and I'm buying it. It's like, yeah. Wow, that's some real fuck you money.
He also decided to become anti-Semitic.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it happens to anybody. Once you get money, you have to know who to protect it from, and there's only one answer. And I'll let you do your own research to discover what the answer is.
So thank you for the question. Up next is Eric Hayden, who says, have you ever caught or anyone cheating at your table or seriously suspected someone of cheating? If so, what are the signs you noticed? Most cheating happens in the pit and not poker, and it's almost always just what we call... post-betting, which is a term from horse racing, where there's post-time and then the horses come out and someone bets after the race is concluded. And that is what happens, where someone wins a hand of blackjack and then there's more money on the table than there was previously. And the dealer's like, bruh, you didn't have like $50 up there. You had like $10 up there. And the person's like, no, I had 2 green chips up there. I didn't have 2 red chips up there. I don't know what you're talking about. And if they can bully the dealer into not calling surveillance or the floor, they can get paid out on that. And that's number one cheating. And if you see that, you just call security. You just throw them out at that. The one fun thing that happened in that vein was we caught a dealer stealing money out of the pot in poker once. And that was awesome because that guy was a real piece of shit. And having a absolute point blank, no excuses, you're fired sort of way to get rid of them was great. So, it wasn't me who caught him. It was another floor person. But once they told us the story, we were all like, yeah, we did it. The terrible person is gone from our lives forever. So, yeah, that was awesome. And the dumbest and funniest thing was we called surveillance and literally told them exactly what the guy did. And surveillance was like, it took us 5 times watching it on the camera, but we finally caught it. And it was like, he took money out of the pot and put it in his shirt pocket. How did it take you 5 tries to see that? Oh my god. But so eventually surveillance came around on the obvious theft on camera that they saw, and then we got the paperwork moving and that man was no more. So yeah, that was Wonder Bar. So
who's,
yeah,
that's, who's puddle deep now? The rest of us don't even deal poker.
Right, exactly. I was literally about to talk about that. But yeah, so that one was for me, apparently. So thank you for the question. Elon Musk has a tiny mishap. Asks, what do you think of my dog, at Freddy Potatoes? And I think your dog is adorable and the bow tie is sweet.
So. Yeah, the bow tie really puts it over the top. Good doggo. Yes.
I think it's disgusting. I hate that dog.
I was going to say,
it's like obviously a funnier joke if the audience could see the dog, which is like empirically just an incredibly cute dog wearing a bow tie. So if you want to visit, the Hell World Twitter feed, you can see the picture of the dog and bask in why that joke was such a wryly wrought sarcastic banger.
Are we making hives or mastodons anytime soon, or are we just waiting until the ship crashes?
I have an account on post.news, and I tried Mastodon for like 5 minutes, and it just made my, I just went right over my head. I just don't.
Yeah, Mastodon's like too complex to be where people actually land after Twitter. Like, no matter how like friendly it is, once you get to know it, like the Twitter experience is not one of learning a bunch of horse shit. You want it to be the most user-friendly brain dead thing possible. So I figure I'll probably just be on Twitter until the wheels fall off, and then we'll decide where we want to land elsewhere. Maybe on Tumblr.
I have a hive, but it's a secret.
Yeah. I want to be able to accompany my posts with pictures of my beehole. I just be able to display my bleached and waxed beehole to the world. And I think Tumblr allows me to do that now. As long as I'm not putting anything in the hole.
Yeah. It has to be artistic.
It's just gonna be incredibly matter of fact, like a new photo that accompanies a news article.
So Cleodora Silvestri, the Hellworld Grand Inquisitor, asks: DeSantis is almost transformed into Trump, and Elon is well on his way there. Is Trumpism a virus or a curse, like lycanthropy or vampirism? If so, how does it transmit, and who can stop it?
So the hats, and it's a mad haberdasher, some sort of time traveling haberdasher, has to come back and destroy all the hats. It's his quest. It's like Scooby Doo and the 13 Ghosts, only all the MAGA hats. His quest never ends.
He is our level one character in the hell zone that El was talking about earlier. He only has to destroy 20 hats to complete the quest, but he sees more hats and he cannot help himself. More hats must be destroyed.
Evil time traveling haberdasher sounds like something that's gonna pop up on the sequel to Gravity Falls.
Yeah,
sounds like a very modern way to do a child villain for like some sort of like cartoon show that's with it.
They one of the episodes does have a president that was so dumb that he was erased from history. He's like the 16th and a half president. And he appoints a Supreme Court of nothing but babies and makes a negative $2 bill. It's pretty good. You should watch Gravity Falls.
I've tried to watch Gravity Falls, and I'm not going to lie. The first few episodes are pretty boring.
Mm.
Pretty boring indeed. I know they pick up because I've seen some later ones and they are better, but it is not that I have not tried to watch Gravity Falls. And for whatever reason, I'm a weird stickler. When it comes to shows, like, I'm not going to give it a pass and just skip through a bunch of the bad content to get to where it gets good. Like, your show has to be sort of good from the beginning. Like, Parks and Rec. I would not say that those first Parks and Rec episodes are great, but there was something there that kept me wanting to watch it. And then like a lot of these other shows that people insist are great, like I just fall off after episode 3 because I don't want to skip to episode 12 to find out when it gets good because I don't know who any of the fucking characters are.
Yeah. It's like American Office. Some of the funniest, the moments people all cite are well past season. No one ever like cites moments from season 1 of American Office, and they definitely don't cite any from like the last 2 seasons.
Yep. And remember, listeners, this was a question about Trump lycanthropy. So
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you stop.
The problem is the real answer to that question is very boring. It turns out that when you give somebody that is Caucasian or can pass for Caucasian a bunch of money, they get conservative. Because then they become afraid people are going to come for the wealth that they've accumulated. And like, that's all that conservatives care about is the wealth that they can accumulate. It just is. That's why like their biggest sticking point is like, hey, I'm gonna pay 5 more cents per gallon of my gasoline. What the fuck, out of your fucking mind? I'd burn the whole fucking country to the ground and do that. And it's just like, okay, well, it's an extra, what, like $10 a week? I know that sucks, but like, do you really want to destroy democracy over it? Yes! Okay.
Yeah. I want Putin to take Ukraine in order to get the gas prices down. Fuck those people. I will see an entire nation genocided to the ground to lower my gas prices. And that is an actual argument I saw QAnon make. And our final question is from Chairman Walkman from Beyond the Void, who asks, "What is the ideal breakfast sandwich?"
Ooh, now we're talking. There's a lot of wiggle room here.
Ooh, I like a ciabatta bun with egg and bacon. Now the cheese, you kind of got to feel it out. Some mornings you want some cheddar. I'm not getting too like out of the pocket here. The cheese and the sauce, you've got to feel it out. But that's where we start for the perfect breakfast sandwich, I think. I don't think you need a, like, it's like the umbrella and the toothbrush. You can only improve on perfection so much. Like, you can't iterate too far out.
Yeah, for my money, it took me a second to decide what my heart of hearts would say is this one. But once I went through the permutations, I was like, it's been obvious the whole time. Yeah, it has to be from a diner with a properly seasoned griddle. So you want to go like after a bunch of the home fries and stuff for the day have written like in bacon and sausage have already been cooked on the griddle. And it, preferably if it's a griddle that's been in use for some time. So if you happen to have like a good local diner, go there. You get yourself a nice bagel, grilled, no extra accoutrement on it, no butter, no nothing. Just grilled on a well-seasoned griddle, a little American cheese because it melts real nice. Classic, like heavily seasoned breakfast sausage, nice folded over egg. Boom. Classic. Serve with your choice of hot sauce or ketchup or nothing.
Yeah, I'm English muffin, cheese, sausage. That's pretty much me. I'm a pretty boring square when it comes to my breakfast sandwiches, but I do love sausage patties. They are
sausage patties are great.
Sausage patty plus English muffin is a win for me because it's just circle on top of circle of deliciousness. And then put some amount of cheese on there for I don't know, cheese and sausage is it's well accented meal, so it is good. That's my breakfast sandwich of choice.
I like that we all went for different breads. That's part of what makes breakfast secretly the greatest meal of the day. No, nobody's talking about how great breakfast is because you know you go to like a Michelin restaurant or whatever that I serve it up breakfast typically, but it turns out that breakfast is where it's at. What's the best breakfast sandwich? Has three different answers, all of which sounds equally great from people.
Yeah, and so that's what we're actually going to do if we had infinite money, is create the greatest breakfast restaurant in the world. Just fucking immaculate breakfasts all day.
We'll just serve breakfast at our board game cafe. Yes. It's also an escape room. It's inside the room, which is the district of Detroit that is your escape room.
Yes.
So if you want to take a break from your 7-day escape room journey, you can come to our board game cafe and take your mind off it by playing like Carcassonne or whatever.
Yeah.
Note, I would not recommend playing Carcassonne. I just wanted to choose an approachable game for our audience. I would suggest something like Brian Boru, which is a much better game than Carcassonne.
Yeah. Ticket to Ride. Give him something easy. Give him the starter model.
Yikes. Can it at least be Ticket to Ride Euro, which is a better map?
Yes, like 1,000%.
Okay. Ticket to Ride Euro is your starter game. There you go.
Boom.
There you go. Nailed it.
Okay. And so that brings us to our final question, which is what are you guys looking forward to?
A couple things. 40K Chaos Gate is getting its first DLC, and it's adding Dreadnoughts, the venerable combat sarcophaguses, which I've always found very 40K and fun, so I'm excited about that. Marvel's Midnight Sun.
Sarge, let me interrupt you to propose Warcophagus. Thank you.
Warcophagus.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marvel Midnight Suns is coming out finally soon, I think this next week, so I'm tentatively excited for that. I do have it pre-ordered, and I like Fraxis games. I'm playing, like I said earlier, I'm playing XCOM again, and I like Marvel, so these are two great flavors that hopefully go great together. But yeah, so there you go. Warcophaguses and Marvel Midnight Suns.
I am excited for, you know, I don't really have anything that's like too, like, pinpoint, like, boom, this is a thing that's happening soon that I'm fired up for, but not in a bad way. Like, I just sort of, like, you know, I'm just sort of in the between the holiday way, just waiting for the, like, friend gatherings and stuff. There's a bunch coming up, so I guess I could just say that I'm excited for getting into the holiday season. There's going to be a bunch of stuff going on that's going to be pretty exciting. And since it's going to be dark and cold out a lot, especially once the snow starts to fall, it'll be ample opportunity to play some board gaming. I played the most recent Clank Catacombs, and it's sort of like a pretty good iteration on that formula. They've taken a lot of what they learned from Clank Legacy and Clank in Space and have delivered like a new sort of take on it, which felt actually pretty zippy for a Clank game, which can get kind of long. So yeah, we'll just say that I'm genuinely, generally excited for the forthcoming Christmas season.
All right.
And I'm looking forward to the fact that finally, after the hell period of COVID, corporate has deigned to grant us the chance for a Christmas party at some point this season, which means that now I have spent my days traipsing about ye old casino, being hit up by people demanding that I make sure to bring Secret Hitler to the office party. And I have reassured everyone that that will happen. And I actually, the funny thing is that because we've had such massive, it's been so long since we've done this, that I've now run into people who've actually played Secret Hitler in the wild. And I now have people telling me they're going to crush me, which is, I have never been shit talked previously about this, about the board gaming at the office party before now. Everyone was just sort of like, oh, we're going to have a great time. But people were just like, oh, you're bringing Secret Hitler. Oh, I hope you think you're good at it, because you're not. I'm going to get you. I'm going to mind game you. I'm going to get you. And I just look at those people and I'm like, what if we're both liberals? What then? Like, you're just going to mistrust me, or make me mistrust you so we lose? And they're just like, mind games. And I'm like, that's not how you play. Like, your role is different every time. What if we're both fascists? You can't fuck with me then. You're just on my team.
And this is why I know that Mike Rains is not good at Secret Hitler, because the game is always afoot. Everything, every encounter you have with a person is an opportunity to get a little bit more equity out of them in a social deduction game.
ABH, always be Hitlering.
Oh, yeah. The thing is that the person who's doing this to me, I believe that they are absolutely as like transparent as a pane of glass, and that if I'm a liberal, I'm just going to be able to look at them, and they're just going to crack. They're just going to crack like an egg and give away the fact that they're fascist. Like,
yes, but what you have said to the higher plane, you could do that to the Hitler. You could just... You could just glance around the table, isolate somebody with your eyes, ask them if they're Hitler, and then watch them fumble over themselves in peeing because you have timed them out immediately. Where they just like, that's great. It's always nice to just arbitrarily choose someone. Or sometimes you have enough info to make like an educated guess out of a handful of people, and you're just like, you're Hitler, aren't you? And they just immediately, it's just Key and Peele sweating meme. Like, what? Yeah, what? Shit. I'm not Hitler. What are you talking
about? Yeah. Oh, man. It's going to be great. So, yeah, that'll be both a hoot and a holler, because I have not played IRL Secret Hitler or any Secret Hitler in, like, years. So, like, just the fact that, like, people knew me as the guy that brings the board game to the game, to the office party, and they were just like, we got to do it. I'm like, hey, no problem. No problem at all. I'm always up for a night of that. So, yeah. So, me and Elle are both looking forward to board games, basically, is what it comes down to.
Love it. Love a nice board game.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, it's time for us to secretly scurry back into our drainage area and sprint through the sewers away from the spot of the crime in Hellworld and safely away from this place for the week. Thank you for your support. If you'd like to continue to support the show, you could do so for free by giving us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. If you have some money in your pocket and you would like to donate it to us, if you're in a giving sort of way this holiday season and you're like, hey, I'd like to support those jerks, well, these jerks will take your money via Patreon at patreon.com/pokerpolitics. You can donate however much you'd like from $2 and up. But if you donate $5 or more a month, you get access to all of our bonus content, including our several series of dissecting Q media, such as Cabal and What We Do Out of Shadows and Mule's Errand. So go ahead and take a look there if you're interested. If you've got money and you don't want to give it to us, you could do some good with it in a variety of ways, one of which is donating it to love146.org. They're an organization whose vision is the end of child trafficking and exploitation. Big shout out to DJ Minimal Effort, as always, for the use of our intro song. No Soch for DJ Minimal Effort. So once again, screaming into the void on his behalf. Thanks to our buddy Frosty, who you heard this week is Q. You hear every week is the voice of all of our bumps, but back to his Q bullshit. You can find him on Twitter at FrostyVO. Speaking of Twitter, for the time being, you can find the show there at Hellworld with a Q instead of an O. You can find my Twitter personal, personal enough. At Hellworld L, spelled the same way as the show. Sarge is at Sergeant Hell, and Mike Reigns is, of course, at Poker Politics. So, for another successful episode of the Adventures of Hellworld podcast, I have been one of your hosts, the Mysterious L, joined by our good friend Sarge and our expert in all things QAnon crazy, Mr. Mike Reigns. Good speed, Patriots!